بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. Allah the Most High says in the glorious Quran, in chapter 16, verse 97, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer in Allah, verily to him we will give a good life in this world, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do, meaning in paradise in the hereafter. What is the meaning of the good life that came in this great and noble verse? It could refer to satisfaction and contentment. But there is a deeper meaning to this, which one of the greatest scholars of Islam, whose name is Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, mentioned in his book Madarij al-Salikin. He said the correct thing is that the good life refers to the life of the heart, its bliss, its delight, its enjoyment and knowledge of Allah, loving Him, turning to Him, reliance upon Him. For there is no better life for the person than this life, and there is no bliss higher than this bliss except the bliss in paradise, as some of the scholars had mentioned. I encounter certain times during which I say, if the people of paradise are in this state of mind, then they are truly in a good living. He is referring to the living of his heart. And since we know that the life of the heart is followed by the life on the body parts, because the living heart, the one which is truly living, manifests its life in good actions, because the heart is the king and the body parts are the soldiers. The contemporary life brought us many innovations in means and ways of comfort and enjoyment. However, it couldn't secure the good life exemplified in the happiness of the heart and in the tranquility of the self. The modern knowledge reached high levels of advancement, but the self did not experience the true and good essence of what constitutes the contentment, the satisfaction, the delight of the heart. Rather, it produced physical enjoyment, apparent enjoyment, and temporary comfort. Some people think that the true or the good life is that which is associated with fame and deceptive positions. And others think of it as piling wealth, amassing it, and submerging in the mud of lusts, and taking poisonous drugs. Others think it as building mansions and possessing real estate and palaces. Yet despite that, despair, worry, grief, pain, is agitating the life of these people. Disintegration, wickedness is the symbol of the modern contemporary life. There is chaos. There is chaos in this modern life, disintegrating families and societies. Everyone seeks the true, peaceful, and quiet, established life. This is an objective for every sane person. However, it is not possible. It is not possible to attain this without righteous deeds that are built upon the belief in the one who created us, Allah the Most High, Allah the First, who is nothing before Him, Allah the Last, who is nothing after Him, Allah the Most High above creation, Allah the Most Near in His encompassment. He, the Most High, promised by saying, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, to him we will give a good life. So Allah conditioned righteous deeds that are built upon true faith, so that the fruits will be the good living, comfort of the self. The belief in Allah truly as the creator, sustainer, the one who possesses everything, the one who runs the affairs and the one who deserves to be worshipped alone is the greatest cause for achieving the true good life. This is clear in the verse and in the promise. To him we will give a good life, whoever works righteousness, male or female, while he is a true believer. So if the person knows Allah, the most blessed and the most high, knows him by his attributes and his names, then he knows the meaning of his lordship, and that he knows that he is the one who possesses everything. In his hands are all affairs. Then in this case, the person will not fear anyone except Allah. Here is one of the prophets of Allah, whose name is Hud, alayhi salam, challenged all of his nation when they frightened him by their false gods. So he said to them, as in the Quran, chapter Hud, verse 11, chapter 11, verses 54 to 56. إني أشهد الله وأشهد أني بريء مما تشركون أني بريء مما تشركون من دونه فكيدوني جميعا ثم لا تنظرون إني توكلت على الله ربي وربكم ما من دابة إلا هو آخذ بناصيتها إن ربي على صراط مستقيم. He said, I call Allah to witness and bear you witness that I am free from that which you ascribe as partners in worship with him, Allah. So plot against me, all of you, and give me no respite. I put my trust in Allah, my Lord and your Lord. There is not a moving, flying, living creature, but he has grasp of its forelock. Verily, my Lord is on the straight path. So therefore, from this, we know, if the person knows that Allah, the Most High, is the one who runs all affairs, that Allah is the one who runs the whole kingdom, which is His, so this will have an impact on the person by having good trust, good reliance, and thus will fear none except Allah, and will direct himself to none except Allah, and his heart will attach to none except Allah, and he will seek might only by obedience and humbleness and submissiveness to Allah and to his greatness. Thereupon the self will be tranquil, and thereupon his heart will be firm. Because he put his trust in the all living, the ever living, who does not die, as to those who put trust in other than Allah, they are putting trust in the created, the imperfect, who is himself in need. Or they will put their trust in some kind of a desire. They will attach to it. These are the wicked ones. These are the ones who are torn between disputing partners. As Allah the Most High states in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 29 in the Noble Quran, ضرب الله مثلا رجلا فيه شركاء متشاكسون، ورجلا سلما لرجل، هل يستويان مثلا؟ الحمد لله، بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون. Allah puts forth a similitude, a parable. A slave man belonging to many partners, like those who worship others along with Allah, disputing with one another. And a slave man belonging entirely to one master, like those who worship Allah alone. Are those two equal in comparison? Certainly not. Allah, all the praises and thanks be to Allah, but most of them know not. From the causes that lead to the true life is fearing Allah, having awe of Him by executing the commands and abstaining from the prohibitions. So if the person is in a restricted situation, then he should fear Allah in his affair and in the outcome. قال الله تعالى in Surah Yunus in chapter 10 verses 62-64 أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. No doubt, verily, the awliya of Allah, those who believe in the oneness of Allah and fear Allah much by abstaining from all kinds of sins and evil deeds which Allah has forbidden, and love Allah much by performing all kinds of good deeds which Allah has ordained, no fear shall come upon them, nor shall they grieve. Those who believed and used to fear Allah much, for them are glad tidings in the life of the present world and in the hereafter. So the person who is Allah's fearing, fears Allah, the believer, is the one who is at best in terms of this good life we are talking about, and most delighted, most at ease and his heart is tranquil. This is a paradise that is hastened for the believer before the attainment of the paradise in the hereafter. And what a great blessing is this for the believer. The prayers is from the greatest causes to achieve the true good life, the salah. It opens the breast. It relieves from its restrictedness. It affirms, establishes the heart. It establishes in the hearts the pulses of comfort and the pulses of tranquility. The person outside salah feels like he is in a jail, in a prison, and restrictedness until he enters the salah. There he will be at ease. It gives the believer a motivation in faith and strengthening of it. It helps him to carry on the affairs of the life and its hardships. It dissipates worries and sorrows. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 45, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. and seek help in patience and in as-salah and the prayers. And truly it is extremely heavy and hard except upon al-khashi'een. They are the true believers who obey Allah with submission and fear His punishment and hope in His promise and believe in it. From the causes of the true good life is the continuous remembrance of Allah. The remembrance is the tranquility of the heart and security to the self and preserving from evil. The heart that is filled with the remembrance of Allah is a strong heart that doesn't fear except Allah, because it feels always the companionship of Allah and His help and His aid. Because He, Allah, the Most High, said in the Qudsi Hadith, "I am with my slave as long as he remembers me and moves his, and his lips move by my remembrance, by uttering my remembrance," as narrated by Imam Ahmad. And from the causes of the true good life in this, actually in this life and the hereafter, is the guidance by Allah upon the slave, guiding him to repent and to seek forgiveness every time he indulges in any sin or is motivated to act an act of disobedience. This is from the great causes for a true good life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives success to the believer for tawbah, for repentance, and to make istighfar and seeking forgiveness from Him. قال الله تعالى in this respect in سورة الأعراف chapter 7 verse 201, إن الذين اتقوا إذا مسهم طائف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون. This is the success which Allah gives to the believer, guiding him to tawbah, to repentance, guiding him to make istighfar, to seek forgiveness for his sins and for his acts of disobedience. Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Verily those who are the pious and righteous, when an evil thought comes to them from shaitan, from Satan, they remember Allah, and indeed then they see aright. The secret of the good true life is contentment with what Allah bestows upon the person from provisions. This is exemplified in the hadith, the narration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Whoever awakes to find himself sound and safe in his flock, and sound in his body, having the sustenance of his day, then it is as if this world life became his." And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ." In the hadith reported in Sahih Muslim, "He is successful who accepted Islam, who has been provided with what is sufficient for his want, and he has been made contented by Allah with what Allah has given him. Making one's concern this worldly life, which is in the hands of the people, inherits restrictedness and worries. And one of the main causes for the worries of this life is that many is it due to the fact that there is no contentment in what people have. You find people looking at what others who are above them in what they possess in property and in rank, and this leads to restrictedness. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed us by saying, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." Look at those who are lower in status than you. "Wala tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum." And don't look at those who are higher in rank than you, lest you may end up belittling the favor of Allah upon you. This is reported in At-Tirmidhi. To better one's life means to do and enjoin what is good, attaining the beneficial knowledge, teaching the beneficial knowledge, dissipating it, helping the needy, fulfilling others' needs. The more a person acts to help others and bringing happiness to the weak and the needy, then the more he will feel an enjoyment and happiness which cannot be equated. قال الله تعالى الله سبحانه وتعالى says in Surah Sabah chapter 34 verse 36 وما أموالكم ولا أولادكم بالتي تقربكم عندنا زلفى إلا من آمن وعمل صالحا فأولئك لهم جزاء الضعف بما عملوا وهم في الغرفات آمنون. And it is not your wealth nor your children that bring you nearer to us, meaning pleasing Allah, but only He will please Allah who believes and does righteous and does righteous deeds. As for such, there will be twofold reward for what they did, and they will reside in the high dwellings in peace and security. This leads the believer to focus, therefore, on every action he wants to do. He links it to the hereafter. He does not think short, and he is not limited only to this life in his intention and in his action. The whole concern of the believer is to attain the pleasure of Allah. By this, his life in this world will be a true good life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كانت الآخرة همه جعل الله غناه في قلبه وجمع له شمله وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة ومن كانت الدنيا همه جعل الله فقره بين عينيه وفرق عليه شمله ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له. If he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, if anyone's intention is to seek the hereafter, Allah will place His sufficiency in his heart and order his affairs, and the world will come to him submissively. But if anyone's intention is to seek worldly goods, Allah will place poverty before him and disorder his affairs, and only so much of it as has been appointed for him will come to him, and only so much of it as has been appointed for him will come to him. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever is concerned with the world, Allah will place disorder in his affairs and will place poverty before him, and only that which is written for him from this world shall come to him. And whoever is concerned with the hereafter, Allah will place his sufficiency in his heart and order his affairs, and the world will come to him submissively. So, the person who makes his concern the next life, and his heart is filled with the true belief in Allah, then he will achieve what? He will achieve order in his affairs. How? Allah will give him tranquility. He will give him order. His life will be ordered. Mentally, he will be, his thoughts will be focused and consolidated. Allah will bless his relation with his wife, with his relatives, with his friends. The same for her, increasing love in the family. All of this is part of the order. Also from the order is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish for him blessed financial grounds, saving his business, make his mind clear on it, fulfill his works, staying away from haram. And thus, people will love him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him goodness in all of his affairs. And the second thing is that Allah will give him a heart that is rich. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the wealthy is not he who has lots of properties and assets, but the wealthy is the one whose heart is rich. So it is not what is gathered by worldly riches and provisions. This is not the criteria of wealth. Because the abundance of wealth which Allah has given him will never be sufficient if this is his concern. Because he will always strive to attain more and more without giving any kind of consideration to Allah who provided him. Now, is he different from the poor? No. Because he is in constant need. Constant need of what? Constant need of or for wealth. But the one who is rich in his heart, this is the true wealth. Satisfaction, pleasure with whatever Allah decreed from a portion to him. With this contentment, he is rich. Without discontentment, he remains poor. He uses his wealth in the way that will give him even more richness. How? By pleasing Allah. So Allah will give him riches, richness in the wealth of the heart and in the materialistic wealth and ordering of his affairs. And what was the third one in the hadith? That Allah will bring the world to him in submissiveness. Will come the whole world to him. You know, when the wild animal can be tamed by its master. To Allah belongs the best example. The one who masters the world, Allah who masters the world, can make this whole world and its beautifications appear to the believer to be less significant and therefore subservient to his slave. So this leads the believer to what? To put his affairs in priority by distancing himself from this world and its adornment, lest he becomes enslaved to it, and directs himself, aims high to the next life. It doesn't mean that the person cuts himself off this world, but he takes from it only that which is sufficient. He should not desire it or covet it. So he takes only that which will assist him reaching his destination. without being attached to what he carries. He lives this life in accordance with the direction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, be in this world as though you are a stranger or someone merely traveling through the world. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what have I to do with the world? This dunya, this life. Mali wa dunya. In relation to the world, I am just like a rider who shades himself under a tree, then goes off and leaves it. So therefore, the one who aims high to the next life, Allah will bring this world to him subservient. Makes it under his service. What about those who make this life to be their main concern? They work for it. Their focus is upon it. And they think that their happiness and their sadness or weakness totally depends upon it. So what happens? If he doesn't attain the least of it, then he is grieved. And Allah, the Most High, will make first His worldly affairs disordered. Everything to Him will be scattered. No focusing in His thoughts, distressed in His affairs. Any little thing will cause him confusion. Finances are in disarray. Relations at home, with the children, with the parents, with the wife. And this disarray will be the norm in business, at home, in the street, in the market. And secondly, poverty. Poverty, the real poverty, in the sense that he's not going to be content. No contentment. Even if he possesses so much wealth, and you find him, the more he seeks this life and pushes for it and strives for it, the more he will feel in need and anxious and tired. So Allah puts him in this poverty. We seek refuge in Allah from the disorder and from poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah 268-269, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء ومن يؤتى الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. Satan, Shaitan, threatens you with poverty and orders you to commit fahisha, that which is indecent, evil deeds, illegal sexual intercourse, sins, whereas Allah promises you forgiveness from Himself and bounty. And Allah has boundless knowledge. And Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs, all knower. He grants hikmah, wisdom to whom He pleases. And he to whom hikmah, wisdom is granted is indeed granted abundant good, great wealth. But none remember or receive admonition except people of understanding. And what else? The world the more he runs after this world the more it will flee away from him. So when he comes it will be like a mirage. When he comes close to the mirage, he finds that it is nothing. All of his work, all of his fame, all of his struggles in this world is gone. He's not going to attain from this world except that which Allah has prescribed for him, has written for him. And for him, this will feel like a punishment. It is reported that one of the great companions, the third Khalifa, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, the concern of the world is darkness of the heart. And the concern of the hereafter is a light in the heart. Those who carry the concern of Al-Akhirah, the hereafter, in their hearts and in their actions, by doing righteous deeds, they will live the good life. They improve themselves all the time. And they also try to improve others. They use this life as a vehicle to gain and to amass from it the good things that help on the journey to the hereafter. Their aim, their objective in this world is to live this life in accordance with what Allah wants. This is the worship of Allah alone, taking no partners with Him. They go on this journey on two wings. Wing of fear and wing of hope. They feel regret over every small act of negligence, carelessness, and every little sin. Because why? Because they magnify Allah properly. And they know that Allah is the only one who can forgive them. So the sins will feel like mountains on their shoulders. But they have good opinion in Allah. They have a balanced approach, fear and hope. As Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah put it, Is there any good life better than the life of the one whose whole concerns have merged and became one in pleasing Allah, and his heart did not dissipate and branch, but rather came to Allah, and his will and his thoughts all directed to Allah. So he becomes overtaken, overwhelmed by the remembrance of the one he loves, by the remembrance of the one who he seeks to meet and to be close to and near to, and whose all of his concerns are focused upon him. If he speaks, he speaks for Allah's sake. If he is silent, he's silent for Allah's sake. If he hears by Allah. Allah directs him to hear the good and to see what is good. By him he lives. And him is the one who causes him to die. And him is the one who resurrects him. This constitutes the true and good life. Other than that, it is a mirage. It is a mirage. When he comes up close to it, he finds that it is nothing. So his efforts, his struggles, his fame, his status, his prestige, his praise in this world is just perishing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us the true good life, the life of belief and righteousness. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.